Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, a good, happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. This is Ginger Mint with another intro. Well, actually, this is a very special edition of Local Queen because we are having our Friendsgiving get together today. So we're going to be cycling through some of my favorite people because no queen is a queen without their support system. And sitting over here to my right, probably your left,
yes,
when you're watching this, I don't know how science works, you know, and, is one of my favorite people in the entire world, one of my closest friends, and one of the fiercest queens I've ever met in my life. This is Heather Abu.
Hello, shalom, hi.
Asta lama.
Asta, yeah. Asta pasta.
I don't know, but I will look
Unlimited
that
breadsticks.
Up. Unlimited breadsticks. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I am really good. I'm very
stuffed.
Excited. Are you?
Oh my God, that food.
Mm. We did. Oh. I will take full credit for it, but it was not me. I did nothing today.
It's okay.
Except cut the cranberry sauce.
That's important.
That really is like.
Slice it right.
It's the bit that draws it all together.
Slice it on the bias.
On the bias. Oh, no, don't do that.
I heard that on 90 Day Fiancé.
They're talking about something very different. So for all of our delightful listeners out here, can you go ahead and give me like a Reader's Digest version of who you are and how you fit into our queendom?
Okay. So hi, I'm Heather Abood, and I met this amazing woman, queen, entity, about 10, oh my God, almost 10 years ago, which is crazy.
And that ridiculous?
Yes. Doing Broadway brunch at Hamburger Mary's in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And we just became fast friends. We had so much in common, our same sense of humor. And
which is we read everybody to filth.
We read everybody.
Except the people we don't like.
Correct.
They're not worth a read.
And we... Ginger brought me to perform with her after. And, you know, what's great about Ginger is that she remembered people like me, like Josh Roth, who I'm sure that he'll come up later.
My baby.
But remembered people like us when she went on tour. So we've been to New York. We've been to Chicago. We've been all over the place. And we always have the best time.
And we have stories for each of these places.
So many stories.
Okay, so let's quickly. So Heather, she is being a little modest right now. She is an incredible vocalist. She sings better than almost anybody I know in real life. And she can sing anything. Like, you do all sorts of genres. You
do
jazz and pop and Broadway. Mm-hmm. And I haven't
country,
heard
all of
country.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard anybody quite do justice to. I want to dance with somebody like Heather. And you know, Josh, on the other hand,
he's okay.
That he's great, but that's not his song.
No,
that is not his song.
Not his song.
So Heather, of course, has quickly become a staple here in our local. I say drag community. We call it the queendom.
Yes.
You know, we all fall under that umbrella. So now you not only perform alongside queens, you have your own shows.
Yeah, I do have my own stuff. I do a lot of stuff online, bathtub sessions, random videos here and there. So I'm very fortunate that this community has adopted me and I get to perform at so many different places and so many different shows. So I'm very grateful for everybody. The fact that people actually give me money to do this is mind blowing.
Yeah, me too. Every time I get to a gig, I'm like, I'm having a good time. Oh, and you're going to pay me?
Right?
I like
I'm like,
this.
I'm just here for the free, like, not even free wine. Like, sometimes I have to pay for it.
So, let's talk about the first year I decided to do a Christmas tour.
Yes.
We did Christmas Hanukkah.
Oh, my God.
And it was myself, one of my really good friends, Janine Klein, my husband, CJ, the first year we were together before we were mm-hmm. married, and Heather.
Yes.
And we kicked off the show in New York City at the Laurie Beachman Theater.
Oh, so much fun. Yeah.
We had the best but worst luck with the hotel.
We were in at least 4 different hotel rooms.
Yeah, well, we were in 2 different hotels.
2 different hotels, 4 different rooms.
Because the first hotel, we said, okay, we're doing this on our own. We're self-producing this. So let's make it as cheap as possible. So we got a room that slept 4. We walk in, and I swear all it needed was a redheaded orphan on the floor singing, "It's a hard knock life."
It looked like Fievel. Like, remember in Fievel when they were, like, in the little, like, shoebox or whatever?
Yes.
Like, that's what it looked like, literally. I kept waiting for, like, Papa to come out and tell us there's no cats in America.
You couldn't stretch your legs without kicking the bunk bed across from you. There was no bathroom.
Nothing. That's right. It was a community bathroom.
But it wasn't even on our floor. You had to go 2 floors down to get to the bathroom. So we quickly were like, okay, nope. We'll eat the cough.
Yep.
We'll go down to this other hotel. And the only other hotel that was in our price range that was close to the theater was Travelodge. Travel Inn on 42nd Street.
Yes.
So we get into the first room.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
That's right.
It was gorgeous. It had like pretty carpet. It looked very new.
It was so fancy.
It was big,
mm-hmm.
and it had heat in the middle of December. It was lovely.
And I think we had gone to see Kinky Boots.
Yes.
And everything happened after Kinky Boots.
So we went to go see Kinky Boots. Mm-hmm. And as we come back, we realized that even though nobody had used it, the toilet had overflowed.
Yeah, sure did.
And flooded the room. Flooded it. Thank goodness.
Like, Noah came by on the ark. Like, that's how flooded
exactly.
It was.
Everybody
save
okay?
The giraffes!
Save the giraffe pumps. So we literally, like, thank God. I don't know why we had the foresight to put our suitcases on top of the bed before we left, but they were there.
Yep.
So we like, wade through the water.
Through the water.
Children. We zip up our suitcases and we go down to the front. And they're like, oh, we're so sorry about that. We'll move you to this other room. They take us to another room. The door won't open. They had to literally get somebody to come take the door off of the hinges to open it. So they were like, well, we have another room in the annex. So we were like, that sounds promising. We walk our asses, I feel like, to fucking Narnia.
I was going to say, it was like climbing Mount Everest. Like, the winds are howling. You see, like, the bodies of dead travelers as we're going up.
Maria von Trapp is spinning around and singing. We get there, and it's a tundra.
Oh, it was so cold.
And we open the room, and it looks like it hadn't been opened since Jesus was a baby.
It had been sealed.
Sealed
it
shut.
It was the great tomb.
And it was so cold.
So cold.
And so dusty. And so old and nasty. We were like, this can't even be the same hotel.
No, no way. It was like in a whole different like zip code from the other hotel.
It was like if you had taken our room and put it on Stranger Things and then somehow walked through the wall and it was the upside down version.
It literally was.
Spent one night there, and Janine, who was probably the most outspoken person I've ever met in my life, was calling down every 5 minutes. It's cold. That's all she would do. And she'd hang up the phone.
Like,
and finally, they brought us this heater. But when you plug this heater in, it was like the engine of a jet plane. And it would backfire through the night. It would just be like, poof, poof. Yeah, we thought, we didn't know what, we thought we were under attack.
Oh my God. And we're all sleeping in our winter coats, like legit winter coats, like just.
There's one flickering light bulb. We couldn't even huddle around it to keep warm.
It was very Little House on the Prairie.
Very. Little House on the Scary. So then we went down the next morning. We're like, look, we're here for the next 3 days. Please help us. Help us. We're poor. And they put us in a room that was kind of in between the really nice one and the really bad one.
Like in the middle, yes.
But it faced 42nd Street.
That's right. Oh my gosh, yes.
So this is what brings me to the good part of the story.
Uh-huh.
So we had a lot of time on our hands after we opened the show, because we only had to go perform for about an hour and a half every night. So we had all the time in the day, and I was drinking heavily. I'm having my nice non-alcoholic mocktail now. I've been sober for 2 years.
I'm drinking
years.
Wine. Yeah.
But... we were very, very...
And it was like 10 o'clock in the morning.
Inebriated.
It was early because there was a liquor store down... like, you'd come down the hotel or to the bottom level, and literally right outside, there was a liquor store. So we'd go in and buy, like, the $8 bottles of champagne, drinking it straight from the bottle, and people would be walking by on 42nd, and we'd be like, hey, you! you, yes, you in the sweater. And the person would look up and be like, girl, you look so good today. And they'd be like, oh, thank you. We're just yelling at people.
Because we learned that you couldn't see who was yelling at you from the street. So we were like, we're drunk. Let's give people compliments.
And like literally hanging out of the window. So like if we had just for whatever reason inched over a little bit, it would have been like,
it was an old hotel where they still, like, we built back when they still trusted people to open a window at a hotel.
Yeah, one fell swoop and it would have been like, hello, CNN, I'm live from the travel, was it Travel,
Travel Inn?
Travel Inn, where two people fell 18 stories.
They're fine.
We have a witness. They told me my sweater was beautiful and then they just fell out the window.
The compliments are falling out of the sky. But we did. We wanted to spread a little holiday cheer and cheer people up. But then we got on this other kick about bow, 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 bow.
Yeah. Oh my God, yes. If you're turned up but your light bill's turned out, you drink for free. Bow, 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 bow.
So after we tired of giving people compliments.
We were just doing like we were at a club.
Yeah, a club.
Clear.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yes.
Now that we've told that whole story,
yes,
you can see why this is one of my favorite people ever.
Yes.
What do you got going on? Like, what are you up to these days?
Well, the holidays are coming up, so lots of holiday gigs. I'm doing Golden Gals with you. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also doing a show called Frog Pig at House, which is in Orlando as well.
It's directly across the street from Hamburger Mary's.
Directly across the street. I'm at Hamburger Mary's every Friday and Sunday. I'm at Sawmill on December 18th, so just picking up the holiday gigs where I can get them, trying to buy gifts for my nephew, because that's it. My husband doesn't need gifts. My family, it's just my nephew. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to buy him some Legos and dinosaurs. That's
and
it.
That's all you need
that's
in
all
life.
All you need, yes.
Legos and dinosaurs.
Yes. And I'd like to give a shout out to my sister-in-law, Michelle, who is one of your biggest fans. And she is such a supporter of all things drag. And she's the best sister-in-law that anybody could ask for. So, Michelle, I'm going to tell you to listen to this. And
Michelle.
We love Michelle. And she's an attorney. So if you ever need a good attorney.
I always need an attorney.
Michelle got you.
All right, Michelle. We're going to be in touch real soon. So what is the one thing that you are most thankful for this Thanksgiving?
I would say I'm always thankful for my family. I always have been. But I'm really thankful for my friend circle because I feel like when you're younger, you're so obsessed with finding friends and making friends and trying to fit in and be popular. And I feel that, you know, I'm going to be 39 in February. I'm an old lady. I feel like at 38.75, I have really found my groove with my friends and I have people that I can trust and people that I love and people that I can call at 3 a.m. and I know they're going to answer. So that's what I think I'm most thankful for is just my friend circle. I've got a really solid friend circle between y'all and my friends outside of the drag world. And everybody in my friend circle is open and understanding. I don't have any closed-minded folks in my circle. Everybody is open to learning, just very...
Even your dad is open to learning.
Yes,
we talked about that.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and so I'm very fortunate that... You know, family, friends, everybody's very open. And I know that there's a lot of people out there who have families that are not like that, which, you know, you work through it. But I'm very fortunate to have.
I didn't have that family growing up. And now look at my house. Like we've created that family.
Yep. You have to create it sometimes.
Yeah,
absolutely. And your friends become your family, essentially. And that's how I feel.
Yeah. So I have a couple of questions that we ask all of our guests. And we're going to rapid fire through these.
Okay.
One, what is your definition of a local queen?
Somebody who's not been on RuPaul's Drag Race, but is equally as amazing as the girls who are on Drag Race.
Okay.
Yes.
Two, what is the most embarrassing performance you've ever given?
I sang I don't want to cry by Mariah Carey at a show and my voice gave out in the middle of the song. Yep.
Three, what is the best performance you've ever given?
When I sang I Know Where I've Been at a Pulse Remembrance Ceremony.
And four, what advice would you give to any up-and-coming performers?
Don't listen to anybody who is not writing you a check.
Ooh, that's a good one. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt. And then I'll write you a check for it. Where can all of our listeners find you?
I am on Facebook, Heather Aboud, A-B-O-O-D, and on Instagram, Heather A-B-O-O-O, extra O for girth. D. My profile is on private because of my day job. But if you add me and just say that you heard me on Local Queens, I will add you and we'll become friends and you'll get to see my insane Instagram stories that most of the time star my nephew or me being drunk.
In a bathtub singing songs that you know and love. I love you so much, girl.
I love you more.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and I'll be back with my next guest on this extra special stuffed rendition of Local Queen.
Gobble, gobble.
Until you wobble, wobble.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Dua Lipa.
You know, when I play my music to people who I really respect or look up to, then I hear my songs in a different perspective.
Cardi B.
I know what it feels like when you feel like everybody turn your back and like, don't ever think it's because you did something wrong.
Harry Styles.
I feel like I'm falling more and more in love with making music each time I get to do it.
You know these artists for their songs, videos, and epic performances.
But they have so many stories beyond their fame.
That's what we're here to share with you on the Spout Podcast.
We sit down with some of the biggest names in music.
And along the way, our guests reveal stories that even their biggest fans may have never heard before.
Check out the Spout Podcast to hear famous people spout off about more than what they're famous for.
And find out who's spouting off next.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody, to our super stuffed Thanksgiving special edition of Local Queen. As always, I'm Ginger Minj, and I'm here with my firstborn drag child, my baby. The fruit of my looms, Mr. Joshua Roth. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Mama?
I'm wonderful, my love. What's kicking these days?
Oh, man. So performing part-time and fundraising for gay politics full-time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of gay politics?
So I work for an organization called LGBTQ Victory Fund. Mm-hmm. And it is our mission to elect openly LGBTQ people across the country. And coming up January 2022, we will have officially over 1,000 gay people serving across the country.
I love that. And Lee Shannon is not one of them.
Lee Shannon is not one of them.
But she withdrew from the race.
She did.
For those of you who don't know, Lee Shannon is like a local legend. And so she's been performing here for years and years and years. A staple of Hamburger Mary's, where we both work frequently. And she announced she was running for like city commissioner. Mm-hmm. And then maybe, I don't know, like a month later says, never mind, my foot hurts or something. I don't know. I don't know what her reasonings were, but it was something like that.
Yeah.
But so I'm just saying, I'm bringing that up to be like, so would she, like, would your organization raise funds for her to use to campaign with?
Yeah, so there are a couple ways we operate. The organization that I work for itself, we endorse candidates. And then we will give them financial support, and then we'll also give them pro bono campaign support. And then we will encourage our donor base to give their own funds to the candidates as well.
Oh, I should have hooked up with you before the finale of All Star 6.
Yeah.
You could have openly campaigned.
I did.
Everybody in Orlando did. Yeah. Everybody. Seriously. Even Lee Shannon. It was very sweet. Okay, so for those of my friends and my listeners out here who may not know who you are, which I'm sure they all do if they follow me, they follow you. But give us a little Reader's Digest version of who you are and how you fit into our little queendom.
Sure. So I'm Josh Roth. I started performing professionally about 10, 12 years ago. And I met you when we were doing a beautiful community theater production of Chicago.
Yes. It wasn't community theater. It was theater for the community.
Yes.
We got a stipend.
We did.
We were professional actresses.
You know, I actually found, I don't think I ever cashed that check. I think I found it like years ago.
I always cashed the checks and gave it back to Franny. Oh. It was at Theater Downtown, which is no longer with us, but it was just an icon. Mm-hmm. Here in our arts and entertainment community. It was kind of like the heartbeat of our community here.
It was where I did some of my favorite work.
Me
ever.
Too.
And then we did Evil Dead. And then you said, come dance with me at Banana's Diner.
Yeah.
And I did that for years. And ever since then, I've just been performing both full-time and part-time and doing gigs with you when I can. And those are my favorite gigs, I have to say, that I ever get to do.
Well, you moved here as an impressionable youth, had nobody, really. So how did you come here to Orlando? Because you're from...
From Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado. I wanted to say Aurora for some reason. Are you from Aurora?
Aurora, technically, but I always say Denver because people know where Denver is, and Aurora is just a suburb that's like 20 minutes south. But yeah, I came to work for the Disney College Program, selling turkey legs at Magic Kingdom for a good year. And then I got myself into some dance classes, got back into school, got my degree, and started tap dancing my way onto stages.
Yeah. And I met you and Greg.
Yes.
And Daniel.
Yes.
My three boys. I met them at the same time. We were all in Chicago together. You're kind of the only one that sticks around me all the time. Because you're here. Like, you're still with me. The other boys have moved off, and it's been sad to see them leave the nest. But I'm very happy that you're still here, because not only are you a lovely person, you're a great singer, great dancer, fantastic actor, and just very charismatic on stage. So audiences here in Orlando have really fallen in love with you.
Well, don't boost my ego too much.
Well, it works for my reputation.
Got
you know?
It. Yeah.
You're a credit to my name.
Positive vibes only.
Yeah. Yes. So what do you do, like, as far as the drag entertainment community? How do you fit into that?
Yeah. So once I started dancing at Bananas with you, I started getting into meeting more queens, and I started doing backup dancing for pageants. Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite backup dancing for pageants experiences was for Alexis Mateo.
In
Dallas, Texas.
For her Cinderella number.
Yep. So I did that. And then Mr. Miss Adrian for Miss Comedy Queen.
Yes.
And then Broadway Brunch Bunch and Hamburger Mary's I did with you for years.
Yeah.
And ever since then, I've just kind of been going in and out of those circles.
And now your life has taken a little bit of a different turn. It's taken you away from the entertainment world a little bit. Well, it's replaced you in the entertainment world. Because you're working kind of on a different aspect of it.
Yeah. And I still get to work with entertainers. Like the gala I'm planning next week, Marty Allen Cummings. From New York, who is a wonderful...
Marty. Let me tell you about Marty.
Okay.
For just one second.
Okay.
Back before I even discovered Ginger, I was working as a team lead at the Lion King on Broadway. And I was part of the team that moved it from the New Amsterdam Theater over to the Minskoff. And Marty was hired as a merchandising team member, and I had to train him. And that's a lot of energy. Particularly 16, 17, 18 years ago when this was, oh my God, I have never met somebody with more natural energy and drive and opinion on anything.
Yep.
Will argue with you to say the sky is blue, and they will tell you, no, it's pink, and this is why.
Yep, 100%.
But I love that. I love that. But meanwhile, I'm trying to like tag Simba dolls and count out freaking Pumbaa cookies.
Marty's like, no, let's do it this way.
Yeah, and I was like, you know what? I have a really important job for you. Here's the lunch orders for everybody. And I was like, girl, you order from this place. You order from this place. Let's send them around. Because it's the only way I could get things counted the first couple days. So that was my first experience with Marty Cummings. And it's something that I take with me to this day.
So I don't know Marty super well, but they ran for city council in New York. Unfortunately did not win, but they're going to be emceeing our gala. Mm-hmm. So again, another wonderful crossover of entertainment and politics. And in the LGBTQ community. And so I'm never truly separated from it.
No, not at all. And it's never really about winning. Because I have learned from personal experience, when you don't win, it kind of pushes you a little bit more to be a little bit more vocal and take some more chances. And I'm really grateful that I get to do that. You know, I get to push the boundaries a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one of my favorite parts of being in the drag world is getting to see everything that you've gotten to do over the last 10 years from 2.5 seasons of Drag Race.
And... Yes, 2.5! I don't know, my couple of episodes on season 11, they might balance out All-Stars 2.
A little bit. But yeah, I'm constantly so, so happy for all the amazing things you're getting to do, and I love that I get to watch and cheer you on.
Well, I love it because Josh and Heather we have a texting group. And so every time I'm working on a project, it's like 4 a.m. I'm like, look who I just met. Because I know they're the only ones that A, care, and B, aren't going to rat me out for my NDA.
The pictures we got recently.
I know. I can't tell any of you about it yet, but you're going to love it. I promise. You're going to get your whole gay life.
Yep.
So what is one thing that you are super thankful for this year?
I have grown up with a wonderful, wonderful family. And to get personal, I lost my mother this year. And I will most likely lose my father fairly soon as well. So having chosen family like you, like Heather, like CJ, like my beautiful fiance, Andy.
They're getting married, y'all.
We are.
He put a snake in his boot.
Having all of you has made it bearable and easy and reminds me that there is still so much life worth living.
That's right. And it's so not like we had our little Thanksgiving last year.
No.
But it's so nice today with our Friendsgiving, like everybody that we love and care about is here. And it's great. It's good to see everybody and have that sense of community.
100%.
All right. I'm going to rattle off these 4 questions that I ask all of my guests.
Okay.
1, what is your definition of a local queen?
Ginger Minj, the Minx, Mr. Miss Adrian.
Combined, rolled that's together. People, and I love yes, that.
Yeah.
What do you think the role of a local queen is?
Ambassador and performer. I know those are interesting, but I think ambassador and advocate. I think every drag queen is an advocate.
Yeah.
Just in their own existence, it comes from subversion and civil disobedience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's important to say that too, because I feel like the more we swing towards mainstream pop culture, and the newer the audience becomes, the younger the audience becomes, sometimes they don't realize or they forget that drag is about as punk rock as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when drag started, it was very underground. It was all about taking these taboo subjects and all that and kind of turning them on their head in an entertaining way that made people go, oh, shit, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
Let's make change. Let's really kind of fight for the community. And that's one thing in my heart that I hope we kind of always hold on to and never let get too far away, and maybe kind of pull the pendulum back a little bit on.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that we all remain advocates for the community. 2, what is the most embarrassing performance you've ever given?
there was this one time I was doing this cabaret and I was dressed as Woody.
Uh-huh.
And I was
from Toy Story.
From Toy
Story. Not a Woody.
And I was very, very drunk. I don't remember who kept getting me those drinks from the bar. And the next thing I know, I'm outside the train tracks in a Woody onesie with the hat and everything, just, you know, having the whiskey come right back up.
But let me tell you something about that. So Heather and Josh and I, we used to do this whole cabaret series at Hamburger Mary's. It was the first one that he did with us. It was Disney themed. And this boy is about as Disney as you can get. That smile always so pleasant to everybody. So as people were walking by the train tracks and he's hurling his guts up, he's still going, hi, and taking pictures. You're definitely your mother's child.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What is the performance you are most proud of in your life?
I have 2. Naked Boys Singing, which I did for a year at the Parliament House.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of it, not necessarily for the artistic quality, which was fantastic.
It was. I saw it.
But I'm proud of it because of the confidence and insight that it gave to myself as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second one would be a local production, Wansie with a Z.
That was good. It was at the Fringe Festival.
Mm-hmm, based on the life of local playwright and activist Michael Wansie. And that experience, doing the show with him, was life-changing.
I need to have Michael Wansie on this show.
Yeah, you do.
I absolutely do. And my last question would be, what advice do you have to any up-and-coming local performer?
I started doing my best work when I stopped giving a shit about what other people thought of me.
Yeah.
So do it for you.
Yeah. Look at me. Season 7, All-Star 6. I did what I wanted to and I did well. All-Stars 2, I tried to do what everybody told me to do and it was horrible. horrible.
It wasn't horrible.
For me, it was, though. Yeah, it just, ugh, yeah. It didn't even feel fun. You know, like at the end of the day, you can fail miserably at something, but you'd be like, that was cool.
Right.
That was great. I loved it.
Yep.
That was not the case with that. Where can all of our listeners find you?
You can find me in TV Land Live Productions. Mm-hmm. I'll either be doing pre-show music or making little cameos. So Golden Gals coming up. Occasionally I'll be at Universal Studios, but most importantly, follow me on Instagram, JRODIS_89.
JRODIS_89.
That's me.
Yeah. And of course, you can always find me at gingerminge.com. We're going to take a quick break, and I'll be back with another fabulous guest on this super stuffed rendition of Local Queen.
Mwah.
See you soon. Welcome back, everybody, to our super stuffed Thanksgiving edition of Local Queen. I'm here with the queeniest queen I think I've ever met.
Okay.
She's not so fast, mama. Tyler, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm living my dream. My best life. Oh. I'm here in my beautiful studio. And it's my bedroom. It's,
oh my goodness, it's your house.
The corner wall. But I'm never in my house.
That's actually
so true. I'm actually really excited about it. And then we're here today, and there's so many people that I love. And it's nice to share those moments, you know, especially after last year. Oh. Yeah.
Girl.
So why don't you take a moment, just introduce yourself to our listeners and give them the Reader's Digest version.
Oh my gosh. Hi, I'm Tyler. I am Orlando's premier polyamorist.
Well, when we were inviting we're trying to get a guest count for our Friendsgiving today, we're like, is it you and the husband? You the husband and the boyfriend? You the husband and the boyfriend and the new boyfriend? What's going on? How many?
Oh my god!
You got a clown car full of
absolutely. I'm building an army of twinks.
Well, it's nice.
Yeah,
It's really nice, you know, especially after the year we've had.
Absolutely.
You got to be prepared for anything.
You're telling me. You got to be ready to go.
So you're Orlando's premier polyamorous.
Yeah. And then,
Polygamous?
No, not polygamous.
What's polygamy?
I don't know, but it sounds it sounds Mormon, and I don't care.
Isn't that like where they have more than one wife?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not trying to get married a couple times, you know.
No, but I am an ordained minister, and I could use the bookings.
Okay, I mean, like, we can make that happen.
Just do it one by one, though.
Oh, okay.
So I get four bookings out of it, or three.
I got you. Yeah.
Well, by the time we get through the first three, there'll be a fourth.
So anyway.
And how do you fit into our little queendom over here?
Okay, so I met you because I wrote and directed your show for the Orlando Fringe Festival, Arden.
Yeah, well, we met before that.
Well,
a little bit.
A little bit. We had met on and off. I like seeing you at your shows. And of course, you know Amy, who is a good pal of mine and then worked with us together on Arden. Yeah.
And she called me and she was like, hey, my friend Tyler wrote this musical. And he wrote this. It's like taking the best parts of Midsummer Night's Dream and As You Like It or something, right?
Yeah,
and all these different Shakespearean shows and putting them together. And he wrote the role of Titania with you in mind. And I was like, well, my very first Shakespeare, I played Moth in A Midsummer Night's Dream, and I won best juvenile actor for it. But I was always so bitter as cat piss because I wanted to be Titania. She was so fierce. Her name was Patty Accorso, and she's still like a big part of the Orlando theater community. She runs in her own circles, like nobody else's. She decides what her circle is going to be, and she runs it. I love her, and I still aspire to be her. But I wanted to be her so bad when we were doing A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I would love to do it. So we sit down and we do a Zoom.
Oh my gosh.
Reading.
Yeah.
Like a year before we even did the show.
Yeah, we were all still in our houses.
Locked up tight. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even gone to film All Stars at that point.
Yeah, no, those. Yeah.
And I was like, well, I have nothing else to do. I know how Zoom works now, so let's do it. Like 3 hours later, we finished the show.
God, and
I
was like, so long.
I mean, well, there's a lot of good ideas in there, but how are we going to do this at the Fringe Festival where they give you 60 minutes?
Listen, and that's if we're going to make it work. And we did.
We did. And so Amy called and said, hey, we got chosen in the lottery for the Orlando Fringe. Are you still willing to do it? And I was like, yes, absolutely. Let's go ahead and do it. And talk to me a little bit about that.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, it was a wild process, right? We had that big, beautiful cast, the biggest cast at the festival that year.
Yeah.
It went incredibly well, super well received. And I mean, that was just
You're being
fun.
Modest huh? too, though.
Okay. Yeah. No, we won a shit ton of awards.
And we broke a lot of records.
We did break a lot of records. I think we sold more than anything else at the festival.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also broke the floor.
That we did.
Yeah.
Okay. So the way this is, so there's this bit where you're playing Titania, right? And you're being pushed around the stage, banging a donkey.
As you do.
Like you do, yeah. On this huge, like, chaise, right? That's all covered in flowers and has wheels on it, right? And have little, like, stoppers on it because, you know, we were on stage and we wanted to make sure, like, you know, it wasn't moving too much. But the fairies that were supposed to, like, push them off, like, did not disengage the brakes the way they were supposed to. And we ended up, like, having the brakes down, and they dragged right across the stage of the Orlando Repertory
Theater.
So
now I feel like I can admit something to you. Now that enough time has passed.
Okay.
And I don't feel like we can get in trouble for it anymore.
Uh-huh.
It was not the brakes. It was my giant ruffled coat that I was wearing, that robe.
Yeah.
I got a little carried away because I thought Jared was lovely and we were having a beautiful intimate encounter on the stage that evening.
That you were.
And the coat slipped and I didn't pull it up like I usually do.
Yeah.
And it got rolled into the wheels. And so the wheels weren't rolling.
Oh my God! It was you!
It was the coat.
Yeah.
But I feel like enough time has passed.
I cannot deal.
Amy, don't listen to this.
Groundbreaking theater.
Literally
groundbreaking.
But it was such a great experience. And then we decided, hey, we like each other. So now I'm the seventh in their relationship.
Hey.
And I brought several with me as well. So Absolutely. We're starting a commune.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this is our way of letting them know. So
are we doing this?
So we've spoken about working together on some other projects.
Yeah.
And then you and Amy came to me after I released Double Wide Diva, yes. which is now available on all streaming platforms. Make sure you go listen to it. And you had a great idea. So talk to me about that.
Oh, yeah. So that's the show that I'm kind of in the process of writing right now. Yeah, so Amy and I approached you and we were like, okay, so we're kind of obsessed with, like, one, the music of Double Wide Diva, and two, like, you know, your whole story, and also, like, the way that it kind of has, like, the way you've been intertwining it with the Wizard of Oz narrative, right? Like, yeah. how you did it on All Stars, and then, like, kind of continued it as you were releasing the album. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we think this is the concept for a musical, right? So that is currently what we're working on, is Pretty, the Origin of a Double Wide Diva. A ginger-mingical.
Exactly. It's a ginger-mingical.
A ginger-mingical.
So you know it's going to be magical and glittery and Absolutely. Very, very dramatic. But nice. I love the ideas that have been bantered? Thrown around.
Okay, yeah.
I love the ideas that have been bandied. I think it's bandied.
Okay, bet.
I don't know. We're gonna say it. Bandied around. And it's very new. It's different. Like, it feels very fresh. It's not Definitely. Like, oh, hey, we're going to write this show and throw these songs in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Everything has got a place and a reason.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, like, yeah, because we're, you know, using your music, like, it has really allowed, like, yeah, because your music is all very personal and very autobiographical kind of the whole time.
It's therapy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is. It's cheaper than therapy to release an album.
There it is. But no, allowing that to drive the story, I think, has really, like, allowed it to shape in that way.
So how did you get involved with theater, particularly, like, in the queer space in the first place?
So I really, like, I've been a theater kid forever, right? Like, mm-hmm. I started when I was 9. I was, like, an elf in a show called The Christmas Toy Shop at the local Civic Theater in Little Holland, Michigan.
My very first role ever, I was an elf. And I was on Santa's helpline. And he'd be like, sorry, he's busy right now. That was my line.
I love that.
That was my line.
I'm obsessed. Putting together, like, you know, like, queer work has always kind of been something I'm passionate about, mm-hmm. but wasn't really something I was able to do back home, right? Like, you know, it's a pretty
Where
small
was home?
Holland, Michigan.
Holland. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, which is like a hop, skip, and a jump from Michigan.
Yeah, you did my home gay bar. You did Hamburger Mary's Grand Rapids a little while back.
Oh, I did. Mm-hmm. That was really fun.
Yeah,
that was nice. I didn't realize that was close to Holland.
Very. It's like that's the big city, right? Like
everything around there is so oddly named because, like, I just did this quick little Canadian tour, and it was like Windsor, and there's a London, and then like a Paris, like all these different, all these like big bougie cities, yeah. And so you have high expectations, and you go, and you're like, oh no, it's just Michigan. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not Holland. There were no wooden shoes.
Like, no, four people live here. Okay, no, Holland is wild. Okay, we're gonna talk about it for a second. Let's Holland has it. This tulip festival that happens every spring, which up until probably I was in high school, did not realize that everyone didn't have tulip time in May. And it's like a 2-week thing, and like the tourists come in, and like Dutch dance is like an elective in school, like that you can learn, like it's a whole thing.
Do you wear the wooden shoes?
I had a pair of wooden shoes until I was about 10.
I had a pair of wooden teeth. Yeah, no, I did.
Okay, I'm like, you know what?
I didn't.
It's a day for confessions, so. Yeah.
I was offering free circumcisions with every blowjob.
My God. But yeah, so... I didn't really get into making theater in the queer space and getting to like write queer stories until I moved here to Orlando. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I wrote a musical version of Shakespeare's As You Like It that then got picked up by Amy and ITW in the Wings Productions and got eventually transformed into Arden. Mm-hmm. And then we brought you on, which made me completely lose my mind because back when I was like doing theater, like in Holland, right? Like I didn't have gay friends and I would just kind of like hide in my room and watch Drag Race on my laptop. And like, that was when like you were on it. And like, so
I was on it.
Well, yeah, no, like it was around the same time. So like, yeah. And then getting to like come down here and be like, you know, who I've always wanted to be. And that's also like the whole theme of like the musical, yeah. Right? You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And getting to do it with you was like really fucking rad.
Well, and I love that like you were very closeted living in Holland, Michigan, mm-hmm. and then didn't have a boyfriend. You come down here and you get three.
Three. Yeah.
You're making up for lost time.
Absolutely. Hi, David, Timmy, other Tyler.
The other Tyler came first, and yes. I don't mean that in a chicken or egg kind of situation. Other Tyler came first.
Yes.
Then it was David.
Yep, then a year ago, David. And then Timmy. Yeah.
After Arden.
After Arden.
During yeah. Arden.
After Arden.
After. Yeah, I was winking for those of you who are just listening to this podcast. And so how does that household work? Like, how do you mesh four big personalities together?
Honestly, like, it works surprisingly well. Like, you know, I would think that there would be drama, but there's really not. And everybody kind of has their stuff. I mean, real talk, other Tyler is, like, the boss over there. Like, and, you know, like, he...
I was going to say, yeah, who rules the roost?
Oh, other Tyler. Yeah, no, for sure. It is his house. Like, you know, and he makes sure that we, like, you know, do the dishes. He cooks dinner. Like, you know, yeah. Like, he is in charge. And then we all pile into our king-size bed all on top of each other. Because I haven't made a trip to City Furniture yet.
At least you're all thin.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a very interesting game of Jenga.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tetris.
It's that, yeah.
Seeing what shapes fit where.
What pieces, yeah.
This is now turned into an adult podcast.
So oh, I didn't know it wasn't.
For the one. After... No, it's, girl, if you're listening to this, you've heard worse.
Yeah, I'm like, please.
I am absolutely sure. What was your first drag experience?
Oh, gosh, what was it?
Other than watching it on Drag Race.
Right. I think I actually saw Queens in the Club before I watched Drag Race.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You went to the club? There's a club?
Yeah, so...
Or just the Hamburger Mary's?
No, there's a... Well, there was. I haven't been back to Michigan in so long. There's this drag club called Rumors.
I know Rumors. Yeah. My friend Maddie works there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, Matthew Statfield.
Nice.
Maddie Statty the daddy.
Ooh.
He's really sweet and very cute.
Love it.
And very single, if anybody's looking, in the Holland, Michigan area.
Well, I mean, I moved. And I'm not really looking for a fourth.
You're full.
Yeah,
full
exactly. But yeah, I think the first time I was there for Pride, and yeah, I think that was the first time I went, was I went to a drag show at Pride, and yeah. Diamond Dene and Batty Davis.
I love Batty Davis!
We know Batty. Batty was one of the first drag queens I ever saw.
I know Batty Davis.
We went to the same high school.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. So talented, so fun.
Yeah, isn't she fierce? Yeah.
Yeah. Fierce.
Yeah.
That's what the kids say. I can't do it.
I got you.
Yeah, I look like a dog with peanut butter on the roof of its mouth. So you saw drag in the club, then you started watching Drag Race,
yeah.
Then you moved to Orlando, whole new lease on life, and you're like, I'm going to write a musical for a drag queen.
Yeah, I mean, short version, yeah.
Yeah, which if you think about it, I mean, really, like, we kind of get the foundation of drag, no pun intended, from Shakespeare.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because in the original Shakespearean plays, for a lot of you who maybe listen to this, you might not know, it was illegal for women to participate, so the men always played the women's roles as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, the original Titania was a drag queen. So, I mean, we're not too far off the path.
No, we're being progressive by going back to our roots.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and don't look at my roots because they haven't been touched up in a while.
Oh, my God.
I've been getting so many compliments on this haircut. And I'm like, this was an accident? This was so my hair would fit under a wig right here.
It's great.
Yeah. Like, it's fine. I'll leave it. I'll let it go. Oh, I am speaking of letting. I feel like I've let myself go, and so oily and shiny, but I'm so excited. It's been such a fun day here.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for letting me, you know, join your family for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Once you're part of the Minge family, you're kind of in it forever.
Ain't that the truth?
We don't let people go very often.
I could not be happier.
So what is one thing that you are super thankful for this year?
Really, this year, I think the biggest thing that I am thankful for was Arden, right? Like, and getting to have that experience, especially after the year we had, right? Like, especially after a year where, you know, everything felt so uncertain, especially in the entertainment industry, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, and I was like, wow, like, you know, because the original version that didn't include you got canceled by the pandemic, right? Yeah, okay, yeah.
It was part of the Disney stage.
So it happened at stage, and then... do you remember we got Brown Venue? You remember that happening?
Oh, back when Brown Venue was the thing. And they named it Brown because it is the shittiest venue at Orlando Fringe.
So it's supposed to be in the Brown Venue. And that was like, and so we were like, all right, we're going to scale the production way down, but we're still going to pull it off. And then it got canceled. And like, honestly, like, for that piece, like, the pandemic is low-key the best thing that could have happened for that. Right? You know what I mean? Like, because it ended up having this whole new lease on life and having this, you know, becoming what it was. And, you know, bringing so many incredible people into my life.
That's why I have learned, and this is going to sound dirty, so take it however you want.
Yes, sir.
It's never good to force something. Ever. I've tried so hard in my life to, like, I want this to happen, and I want it to happen now. I've worked my whole life, and I feel like this should be here now.
Yeah.
But I've learned that when you do kind of push things to happen in a certain time frame, it never pans out the way that you want. It never lasts as long as you want. It never feels the way that you thought it would. But when you just kind of take a step back and let life play out, it usually means more and feels better.
You're right. And that is something that I for sure, that, like, I have been learning through 2020, right?
The pandemic is what really taught me that.
Yeah, because it really was, like, you know, you had all these milestones that you were setting, like, and that was all I could wrap my head around, was I was like, this is ruining everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And really, like, at the end, I was like, no, this actually caused everything to happen, and if it wouldn't have happened the way it was supposed to otherwise.
And you should always look for the silver lining in every situation. I mean, I'm 37 Absolutely. Years old now. And it probably took me 36 and a half years to really understand what that meant. Because everybody always told me, like, just wait, the time will come. It'll mean more. It'll be happier. And I was like, no, I won't. This is ridiculous. I hate it. And then all of a sudden, it really kind of everything happened in its own time. And I couldn't have asked for better.
Absolutely.
Including Arden. Like, it
for
was
sure,
just, it was such a great experience. And I really enjoyed it. So I have a couple of questions that I ask all of my guests. I'm going to ask you rapid fire. One, what is your definition of a local queen?
A local queen. I would say somebody who is, you know, beloved by their, like, community, right? Like, somebody who people, like, trot out to see in person and, you know, like, have that, you know, that group, that following, right?
Yeah. Well, don't ask me.
Well, okay. This is my definition.
Absolutely. There are no wrong answers
to that.
Two, what is the most embarrassing performance you've ever given?
The most embarrassing performance I've ever given.
Oh, they've all been that good?
Oh, no, stop it. Okay. So there was this one time I was doing The Music Man, and I was Marcellus Washburn.
Shapoopy, Shapoopy.
Yep, and I was out there doing the Shapoopy. and at the end, they were like, they picked me up, right? Like, uh-huh. They did a lift and like picked me up. And me being the basic bitch I am, like, what, like, would do like this riff at the end, right? That like is uncalled for in Music Man.
Well, I think Mary Martin was a fan of it as well.
So I would pop one off. So they went to lift me. Something went wonky on my way up. I missed the note, right? Like, just cracked up there. And then two, kind of put myself off balance and almost fell on my way back down. And it was very apparent.
Live theater, folks. There's nothing like it. Was it like one of those things like my brother was a cheerleader for a very long time. My very butch macho brother was a fantastic cheerleader.
Incredible.
And always told the stories about how, like, the girls wouldn't wear the panties or, like, the little Spanx. And they would, like, this is high school. We don't condone this kind of behavior.
Absolutely not.
I am just relaying a story from 20-plus years ago. He was like, and then, like, the girls would, they'd accidentally drop the girls and all of a sudden get a handful. I'm gonna leave it at that. What I'm asking is, did you give the dancers a handful?
I mean, I don't know about all that.
We're still talking Holland, Michigan.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What's
less to work with?
Number three, what is the performance that you're most proud of in your life?
The performance that I'm most proud of in my life. Oh, they've all been that bad. there is this performance that was really big for me. Okay, so I went to college briefly at this really tiny Christian school in Southern Tennessee.
Oh, lovely. Mm-hmm. I like where this is going.
And at the end, like, I ended up, like, moving back to Michigan and being like, hey, yo, I'm dropping out. I'm not doing this anymore. The conversion therapy didn't work. Anyway, I kind of, like, I dropped out of, you know, my theater education program, and I thought, like, it was kind of over. And around that same time, somebody who, like, became my theater mentor reached out to me and, like, hadn't directed me since I was a kid and was like, yo, we're doing this, like, wild big production of Seussical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like, I heard you're back in town. Will you come play the cat? Right.
Aww.
Yeah. And I was like 20. And, you know,
just like last
year. Yeah. Stop it. Thank you. And it was at a place where I was like, oh man, my life's over. You know what I mean? And like getting to do that and, you know, help me feel like myself again. Right. Yeah. You know, which is why, and I mean, I think I did a good job, but like also
see,
like,
the pictures, you look nice.
Yeah. But that was the thing that, like, really, like, I'm very proud of that moment.
And number four, what advice would you give to any up and coming performer?
Ooh, advice that I'd give to up and coming performers.
Is that Grindr?
I don't know. I'd say a big thing that I had to learn was, like, getting comfy with things not always working out, right?
Oh, yeah, good advice.
You know what I mean? Both, like, once you're in the show, like, or if you're on the audition circuit and you're hustling, or if you're, like, me and you're writing and pitching shows, right? Like, you have to get real comfy with, you know, the you're going to hear no 10 times, but the one yes is so worth it, right? Like,
yes. Yeah. Well, and yeah. I would add on to that and say, don't be closed off in your ideas, too, because, like you and Amy would come to me and say, these are ideas, and I go, no, yes, maybe no. And then we sit and talk about it. And I think, like, if you're open to being collaborative with people, I'm not just saying with me, I'm just saying, as I have learned, because I used to be the kind to sit back and go, whatever you want is fine. And then I never felt completely artistically fulfilled. So I would start giving some feedback. And that's really the beauty of art, is when you can collaborate and you can create.
Yeah.
And I think that as long as you just stay open to things not going how you intended, but maybe how you hoped.
Yeah.
Because those can be two very different things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the more successful you'll be.
Yeah.
Where can all of our listeners find you?
You can follow me on Instagram at yourpaltyler.
Or Snapchat.
Yeah, you know.
Grindr, Growler, Scruff.
Absolutely.
Sniffies.com. Christian Mingle.
Farmers only.
J-Date. Wherever, always looking for a 7th, 9th over here. Absolutely. 10, 12, a solid 12.
Extra income to finance the new bed.
That too. Well, Tyler, I love you so much. Thank you for being a part of my family, and thank you for coming and joining me.
You're the best.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So I'm going to take one more quick little break, and then we'll be back in just a moment with our final thoughts for our Super Stuff Thanksgiving Spectacular. Mwah. All right, so we're here. We're wrapping up our super stuffed Thanksgiving episode of Local Queen with Ginger Minj. And I would like to introduce you to my family right now. But over here, we have our matriarch. This is my mother, Shirley. What's the one thing you're most thankful for this Thanksgiving?
That we're all together, spending this beautiful Thanksgiving season.
And question and answer, that is contestant number one. No, she's very right when she says that, though. It's the first time most of our family has been together in a while. Right back here,
this is all of us.
It's all of us. Right back here is my oldest nephew, Steven. We haven't seen him in a couple of years, and he's here with his beautiful family. This is my niece, Teresa, right here. These are their babies. This is Brendan and Bryson. And Steven, what is the thing that you are most thankful for this year?
It's definitely going to be family. We don't get together very often as a whole, but that is the best part. But I'm just glad my kids could be here to see everybody that they don't get to see very often.
We are too.
We are too. Even if you don't want to come and sit on my lap. Teresa, what are you most thankful for?
Family.
This is my sister Stacy right back here.
Hey.
That is the mother of these two right here, Steven and Brayden. Mm-hmm. Stacy, what are you most thankful for?
I am thankful that my children got to come see me finally. It's been so long. I'm so glad that Steven and Teresa and the grandchildren and grandboys are here with us. So and for Thanksgiving,
that's our Friendsgiving.
So happy, very happy about that.
Brayden, what are you most thankful for?
Family, and to see Steven, Teresa, and Brendan Bryson.
Brendan, what are you most thankful for?
I'm thankful for being around family when I haven't seen that much.
Yeah. Next time I ask you for a hug, don't act like it's a problem. Michael, right back here, what are you most thankful for?
I am most thankful for having a family that I finally enjoy spending the holidays with. And getting to tour the world with you two crazy people.
And then my beautiful husband right here, CJ, what are you most thankful for?
Family. And you.
Oh, that's... Oh, you're putting it on for the camera. I love that. And from the bottom of my heart, as always, I'm thankful, of course, for this family, but all of my family out there listening to this, wherever you are in the world, remember, we're here for you. And support your local queen. Because your local queen is a hero. From all of us.